keep seeing celebrities posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly, you don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there, it's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
And it's KMOX News.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of His beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's Saturday morning. You know what that means. It's my favorite time of the week. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And guys, I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's June. It's hot. It kind of feels like summer, even though we are not officially at summer for another week or so. But it's hot out there. And, you know, I wanted to talk a lot about weeds today, if we get to it. But as a professional gardener, folks always say to me when I meet them, I bet your yard is beautiful. And that wasn't actually true for most of my career. When I was grinding it, you know, away out in the field every day, the last thing I wanted to do was come home and do the same thing. But the higher up the ladder you get, the further away from the plants you are. So, you know, as I've been more in management, I feel more of an urge to get outside at the end of the day or over the weekend. So we had some folks over last night and we were out in the garden. We were enjoying dinner. And after everyone left, I was walking the yard and just taking a look at everything and realize that I actually do now have a yard that I feel like is really beautiful. But to be honest, you know, just like probably most of you, I have, you know, I have some half-dead plants. I have some plants that probably should have been planted in the sun more or maybe in the shade. But I got some struggle buses out there. I haven't had a chance to trellis up my tomatoes yet, so they're already flopping. So hopefully I'll get to that this weekend. But, you know, there's weeds. I have big weeds. I have a lot of weeds, so much so that right now, hopefully, or here shortly, I have a crew of my guys coming over to do some weeding and hopefully get set down some mulch finally. I know it's June, but You know, my house is always the last to get mulch. We have to get our clients taken care of before that happens. But hopefully, you know, by this afternoon, my yard might look a little bit more presentable and some of those weeds will be hidden. So that is the goal anyway. But don't feel bad. As a professional gardener, I'm sure a lot of your gardens probably look a little bit better than mine, or at least I hope so. But it's real. The fight for the weeds is real. So, but today we have a couple of guests in studio. I'm really excited about today's show. It's a topic that I don't really know that much about, but I think it goes hand in hand with gardening. I think a lot of gardeners are interested. We're going to be talking a lot about birds today. We have Bethany Klor and Ariel Zudema from Wild Birds Unlimited here. Bethany is a dedicated bird and nature enthusiast who serves as the manager of Wild Birds Unlimited at Kennerly Road here in St. Louis. And Ariel is a team specialist there who is a native plant expert. And we're going to be talking about these, you know, about wild birds. They are passionate about connecting people with the outdoors. They're focused on community outreach. They enjoy helping others discover and appreciate the local wildlife while promoting conservation and respect for natural habitats. And their goal is to inspire joy through birding and strengthening the community's connection to nature. So really excited to have you two here. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, Bethany, let's start with you. How did you get into birding, or what's your kind of backstory?
So my backstory is I actually just started as just appreciating and loving bird feeding. I had a really stressful job prior to here, and I'm a mom, and I would just come home and sit outside, fill my feeders, and enjoy bird watching, and it just was my peace and my joy that it brought me from a stressful day, and that's how I started.
That is super exciting. I have a similar, I feed birds a little bit right now, but I actually don't know what I'm doing. So I'm really excited to pick your guys' brain. What about you, Ariel? What's your backstory? How did you get into birds and native plants?
Well, I always really loved gardening for the resource aspect of it, like being able to grow your own food. My mom taught me that at a very early age, and it kind of just accumulated into this massive love for nature on all different levels. And of course, birds ended up being a big part of that, along with the pollinators and the native plants, of course, became a special love of mine.
Yeah. And it really does. Like I was saying, it goes hand in hand. There's so many things that are interconnected. And a lot of us gardeners are really into gardening for wildlife and gardening to help, you know, the planet be a little bit nicer and better for everybody and everything in it. So, you know, learning about the birds and connecting that back to plants, or even learning about what are the best ways or best practices for feeding birds and what foods and things like that. You know, like as a gardener and as a host of this show, I'm constantly kind of, you know, harping on some things, you know, like that these are things that you should and shouldn't do. Certainly one of my big ones is buy local and don't buy your plants from a big box store, go to your local nursery. And I assume that's a little bit the same as what Wild Birds is. So tell us a little bit about Wild Birds Unlimited and, you know, the same spiel, I'm sure, like why we should be going there instead of a big box store.
So Wild Birds Unlimited is just amazing. We actually are a franchise. We have two franchise owners that are just absolutely amazing. They're great people. Their goal is the same as ours in love of nature and being able to connect with community. So it's a beautiful thing. We focus on education as well at Wild Birds Unlimited. It's not just trying to sell you something. We want to make sure you get the right fit for you as the right person at your right needs, while bringing you joy. We want to teach you what it's about and help you grow with your plan. With that said, there's absolutely is the opportunity of great seed quality. That's definitely the difference, is the seed quality. We also, compared to the big box stores and things like that, we provide they have lots of fillers in their seed, for instance. Mm-hmm. And those fillers usually are about 27% of fillers. So that seed that's just going to get wasted on the ground or grow those pesky plants that nobody really wants in their yard. So we definitely focus on being able to provide that quality seed where it's not wasting your yard, not giving you those pesky plants that grow. As well as for native plants, absolutely, it's important. We research our native plant. We do sell some native plants in the spring to late June. We just finished selling ours. They are very particular about where we go as far as a nursery. We research it. We make sure we get the right quality with the same goals where there's no pesticides and things like that. It is definitely a thorough research that our franchise does in order to make sure we get the right items for our customers.
Yeah, I live out in St. Charles, and there's a Wild Birds Unlimited out there. And I was walking by. I've actually never been in. I'm sorry, but I will go after today. I'm going to come and find you guys. But I was delighted to see racks of plants outside. I mean, it's just in a plaza in St. Charles. But there were racks of native plants outside. And I was so excited as I walked by. I walked up. I didn't need any more plants at the time. So I didn't purchase any. But it was really exciting. And I had no idea that that was something that you guys offered. And that is, you know, something that I want to get into in a little bit, like what plants are better for native or for birds, and, you know, how are we using those, and, you know, deadheading and all of those things. So we're going to get into that, but we also want you guys to join the conversation. So if you have questions about plants, about your garden in general, give us a call. If you want to talk about birds, give us a call. We're also open for text 314-436-7900. That's the number to call the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 1041 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My guests today are Bethany and Ariel from Wild Birds Unlimited. And, you know, hopefully I'm going to learn a lot today, and I hope you guys do too. We're going to be chatting about bird feeding and all kinds of, you know, whatever your questions might be. I know I have a lot of questions for them because, you know, it's something I don't know about. It's something I want to learn about as a gardener. You know, one of the reasons why I am gardening is I want to attract that wildlife to my yard. So if you guys have questions, you can call or text 314-436-7900. Okay, guys, it's June. What's going on out there? What are we seeing? What should we be doing?
So we do have a lot of migratory birds coming through here because Missouri is a flyaway state. We have the Mississippi River right there, and also the Missouri River meets up with it. So all of those migratory birds going through there with that water source, they stop in for a little while, which is great. We get to see things like the vireos, the warblers, the Louisiana water thrush, tons of fascinating stuff that we don't usually see. And then we also get some of our regular summer visitors who visit our feeders, like the hummingbirds, the brown thrasher, the rose-breasted grosbeak, who comes around every once in a while, and the orioles.
That's so exciting. You know, one of the things, I was out in my yard the other day, and my feeders are empty. I haven't really put anything out for a while, and I was, you know, kind of thinking, like, should I be feeding or putting stuff out in the feeders in the summertime? I always hear, like, I know, conflicting answers to that. What are your guys'
thoughts?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, you should still be feeding, filling your feeders and helping feed the birds. We are consistent for them. We're something that if they can't find anything, they know that we have their backs and we support them too. They do have a tendency to watch us habitually as well. For instance, they might have facial recognition, but some might see, hey, the human just turned on the porch light. Now we're going to go outside and they're going to come fill the feeder for us. So they will come, especially right now because it's nesting season. Some of those mamas need that quick fix to help support the babies, like the high fats and the high proteins and the high calcium. It's very important right now, especially because it's nesting season. Due to the fact that when the mother lays eggs, it takes about 5 to 10% of her calcium from her body to create that egg. And if she doesn't have enough to support that, that egg could come out soft and there could be problems with the baby and how it actually finishes off and if it hatches or its health altogether. But we also want to make sure we remember the importance of cleaning our feeders. Cleaning our feeders is so important for making sure that there's no sick birds. We make sure that everybody stays healthy, especially in nesting season.
Yep, having like a 10% bleach solution. So you do like one part bleach to nine parts water. Or I always say you could use like a really mild Castile soap and just scrub it really good. Those are one of the best ways that you can clean those feeders for the birds, as well as your bird baths. Those bird baths need to be cleaned too, really often. Absolutely.
That's a good reminder. It's something that I probably should do more regularly. Let's go take a phone call. We got Richard on the line. Richard, go ahead with your question.
I think you answered my question already, but installing bird feeders in the backyard is, you know, I've heard that it is, you know, a mistake because it promotes birds from it keeps them from looking at for their own food. And this is the same question. This is a two-part question. The second part is, do you all have bird feeders in your backyard?
Absolutely.
And you do.
Absolutely. This is a great question. We get this a lot. Yes, our birds, first off, I definitely have feeders. I have four feeders.
Okay.
I love feeding the birds. I love coming home, even though I talk about them all day, and still going home and I watch them. I wake up and I have my coffee on the porch and I watch them. I love to see the new birds coming in. And right now, because it's nesting season, the parents are teaching the babies how to feed and eat off of a feeder. So it's actually an amazing experience. And secondly, yes, you do hear, we get this question all the time. We can feed in the summertime. It is great to feed in the summertime. Again, because it's nesting season, they need that quick fix. They might not find that native plant because it is nesting season, and all these native plants that they could find berries off of, they may be taken. So we are a valuable resource for them for us to continue feeding or filling our feeders and making sure that they are they have that support and their nutrients that they need, like those high proteins, calciums, and fats. So absolutely we recommend carrying on, because that native plant that they could be used to, the weather could have been a factor, like a storm, just high feeding from being nesting season. The berries on that local plant that they're used to might be empty, and they might not be able to go further. So absolutely that's what we can provide, is that healthy, great quality seed that helps them out.
Okay.
Thanks so much,
Thank you
Richard.
Very much.
All right. Let's go up next to Pat. Pat, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Again, this is about birds. I live in Crestwood, and so far this year, I have not seen any hummingbirds. I put my feeder out the 1st of April, and I keep it clean and refreshed, and still have not seen any. I did notice that, because it's on a shepherd's hook, that the squirrel will literally crawl up the shepherd's hook, get up on top of it, turn upside down, and drink the juice in it. So, you know, that's another story. But so my question is, should I continue putting out hummingbird juice? I moved it, so hopefully now the squirrel can't get to it. But I mean, is it too late for them to establish a pattern of coming back through this way?
I would definitely say that making sure that your hummingbird feeder is somewhere where the hummingbirds are going to feel safe getting to it is going to be a huge part of that for sure. But also we're in the middle of nesting season right now, so they're kind of slowing down a little bit at the feeders while the mothers are nesting and the males are kind of doing their own thing. But you can definitely continue to put it out. It might be helpful for some of those mother hummingbirds if you feel comfortable continuing to do that, but you might not see them still for a little while until like fall when they ramp back up again.
And also definitely remember that we have to make sure we're changing our nectar in a good time frame. We recommend changing that nectar every 2 to 3 days if you're using sugar and water, which is 4-to-1 ratio. However, right. If you have, for instance, we have a product of hummingbird nectar that has Nectar Defender already in it. And that one actually makes the shelf life of you changing your feeder and nectar to up to like about 2 weeks. So it lets it, it gives you time to enjoy versus changing so often. So if you're someone that may not have that time to change that nectar as often, that product that we have at any of your local wild birds will have that too.
So when they migrate back in the fall, will they possibly come through the same area?
Oh, absolutely. So
that's why I'm wondering whether or not I should even, you know, keep
absolutely.
It out since they, I haven't seen any.
They are habitual. They do know their territories that they can count on. If they've been to your yard before, the odds are is they're going to come back. And it could even be the babies from the last family that you had that came back, and those babies remembered that you were feeding them and taking care of them. But again, we have to remember at the end of summer, that's when we see just a crazy amount of hummingbirds. But beginning, again, they're nesting, so they're in and out. Mine, personally, I have two that come right now. One comes early in the morning, which happens to be the female, and the male comes late at night at dusk. They're very rarely there, but they are there. But that's because they're taking care of home, too. So if you're a trusted feeder filler, then yes, absolutely, they will come back to you.
Great another question.
My actual bird feeders, I have two out, one with thistle, and so I have seen a few yellow finches. Most of the time they're house finches, and the regular bird seed, I have so many sparrows, and, you know, the only joy is, okay, I'm seeing birds, but I'm not getting that many cardinals or other birds that I know other people get. So is it just because this area has so many trees and has so many sparrows or what?
Oh, no, I get sparrows all the time, and I still have tons of cardinals. I would say they really go for the safflower and the sunflower. Those are going to be the biggest two. If you want to put those out, you'll get cardinals all the time. I put NutriSaf out, which is just like a different strain of the safflower, and it's fantastic. They come around so often, and they are so happy.
And I personally use our no-mess blend, in which we'll probably be discussing here in a few. But that is sunflower chips. It is diced peanuts, as well as it has an extra boost of calcium for the one that I use. And I have four cardinals, as well as I also use bark butter bits, which attracts over 160 species. And the cardinals like that too. So yes, ma'am, there's tons of sparrows. Absolutely. However, at the end of the day, it may be just the choice of seed that you're giving them. If you want to attract more birds and different birds, it's definitely about the seed as well as a healthy water source.
Great question, Pat. I hope that helps. And I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I'm writing notes. I'm frantically taking notes as I listen to our guest. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text to join the conversation. If you have plant-related questions or if you want to continue this bird line of questions, that's what they're here for. Give us a call on the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline, having an excellent conversation with my guests Bethany and Ariel from Wild Birds Unlimited. If you guys want to join the conversation, 314-436-7900. I did want to read a text that came in a while ago. I know it's about pesky plants and transplanting, but I answer this plant question and then hopefully get back into the bird conversation. But the text was, how and when do I move my native hydrangea shrub? And for me, the answer to this is always when it's cooler. So for spring transplanting, I think we're past that time. Can you do it? Yes. If you're diligent about watering and it's got some afternoon sun protection, you can totally get away with it. But for me, I would wait till probably September when it starts cooling off again. But those native hydrangeas are really tough, tough plants. So they don't care if it's the fall or the spring. But I think we probably passed that time frame for me. But good luck with that. Let's go up next to a phone call. We got Bill on the line. Bill, go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have a question sort of related to the birds' food chain. I've noticed I'm in a rural area south of Sullivan, And we get temperatures much colder than in the city. And I've seen a very noticeable lack of bugs. I've got a large plot with all like salvia, red sedum, milkweed, all kinds of stuff in full bloom. And there are virtually zero pollinators on it. And, you know, we had a unusually cold snap in January. It got down to minus 11 or 12 for a couple of mornings. And then we had a late hard frost. So I was wondering if you've heard anything about bug populations at all.
Say the bug population has definitely deteriorated quite a bit over the past, like, decade. One of the biggest problems we have with that is our aerial insectivores have lost about 30% of their population in the past, like, 50, 70 years or so. One of the best things that you can do to help support that insect population is by planting goldenrod. It's one of the most beneficial native plants in Missouri. It's quite pretty. It's actually like this beautiful yellow flower. It's kind of like a tall grass style flower. And it's extremely beneficial. One of the best ones for increasing our insect population and therefore hugely beneficial to our birds. Especially those insectivores.
Absolutely. And another thing that you can do is leave the leaves. I know everybody loves a beautiful lawn. However, it is the home and the habitat of all of those pollinators that we love seeing. If you recall, when we were younger, there was lots of lightning bugs, fireflies everywhere. However, if you've noticed now, there's not nearly as many as it was when we were younger. And they like to lay their eggs, and their habitats are all under those leaves. So if we're constantly raking or mulching or mowing over that lawn with all those extra leaves, then we're destroying those habitats of some of our pollinators and some of our important insects that help us out throughout the year. And if you can't leave your leaves all the way, maybe just push them into a corner of your yard, kind of use them as compost and mulch over that way, just so you're not just destroying all of the habitats that could be hidden under those leaves. So a lot of people don't realize how many of those are under those leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think... Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Well, it's just normally this plot I got, it's about 40-foot diameter. Normally, in past years, for 8 or 10 years, it's just been swarming with bugs at this part of the season.
Yeah, and I think your comment and your question too about the weather, you know, all of those things that the lady said, 100% true. And that weather comment that you made, you know, those fluctuating temperatures. You remember even we had that really, really warm spell. This spring or early spring, it got really, really warm, and then it got cold again, and that was a big problem for a lot of our insects too. So it's a big, it's a lot of contributing factors, but it is, you know, something
like
that
the warm spell brought out the bugs.
Yes,
pretty much early.
Correct. Absolutely. And then it got cold again. So
and then remember too, it is still nesting season, and most of the babies love live insects, so that's also playing a factor.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go up next to Nancy. Nancy, go ahead with your question.
Hi, well, my call is actually about boxwoods. Back in March, I did my big trimming where I rounded them, and then I cut all the dead wood out inside. And when I was watering yesterday, I noticed a lot more dead wood inside. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, can I cut out the deadwood, just the deadwood inside the bushes now without stressing the boxwood since it's going to be so hot next week?
Yeah, so for sure. But I would want to also figure out why you have, you know, that deadwood on the inside. And there could be a lot of reasons. One could have been winter stress. You could have some salt damage. You could have a fungal issue. You could have a bug infestation, which I would think is pretty likely right now. There's a lot of leaf miner damage happening, spider mite damage happening. So I would try to figure out what is causing that so it doesn't continue to get worse. But on boxwoods, as long as you're not doing a really heavy pruning, you could always do that type of maintenance pruning. Anything disease, damage, dead, pruning is almost always warranted because we want to get that out. We want to make sure that we're not opening that shrub up to further pest and disease issues. So definitely can have still have time to get that pruned, and even into, you know, a little bit more into June. You just want to try to be a little bit more cautious once we get to July, August, and do minimal pruning on anything in the heat of the summer.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah. Good luck. We are going to take a quick break. And then we'll come back and answer more of your questions, 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. Still learning so much. We've had a lot of great questions from you guys. 314-436-7900. If you want to keep them coming, call or text. And I want to go to Jeanette because she's been waiting a while. Jeanette, welcome to the Garden Hotline.
Thank you. I have a question about Baltimore Orioles. I feed the Orioles in the spring as they head north, and we get quite a few that come to our Oriole feeders. And they're gone now, so I brought the feeders in. But I'd like to feed these birds as they start migrating south again. I was wondering if you might know when they start their southern migration so I can have my feeders out in time.
So the Baltimore Orioles, they kind of are here and not here at the same time. And then they leave around October, I want to say, at the very latest. But they're kind of on and off. I have some people that get them from the beginning of when they migrate up here until that end of the line. And then there are some people that they've lost them right about now, and they won't come back for a couple of months. But having some really nice tropical style plants in your backyard can really help, and also providing that jelly and the oranges are two of the biggest ones.
Absolutely. And we have to remember it's nesting season, so the same goes for them as well. So you may think that they're gone, but they also are most likely tending to the babies right now. So we have to remember that.
I've never seen one in real life, I don't think.
They're beautiful.
So what's really why we don't see them very often, too, is because they're actually high canopy dwellers.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty hard to get them down to us unless we're feeding them.
Yeah. Well, and I don't feed them. So
if you put out that jelly and those oranges, you may get the privilege to see the babies, and the parents come teach the babies how to eat. That's just the best experience when you can watch that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Hope that helped, Jeanette. We're going to go to a text, and I think it's super interesting, and it's about my nemesis, the squirrel. So I know that squirrels were on our list of things to talk about. We want to answer this question, then maybe get into this discussion before we take a break. But the text is, I had problems with squirrels emptying my feeders until I changed to a type of feeder where the weight of the squirrel closes the feeding door. I've recently been told that these are not good because they collect bacteria and make the bird sick. I do make sure that the old food is out before I refill. Is this type of feeder a problem? What are your thoughts? Thanks for your help.
This is a great question. Also hear this all the time. So you have a squirrel-resistant feeder, but they're getting the seeds. So first off, I apologize. So let's start with the fact that they could be collecting the moisture, so it could be causing little chunks and clumps to come together in the seed. Well, that first off, it could be because it has been cleaned appropriately or in a regular basis. So once you empty out your seed or the birds or squirrels empty out the seed, you want to make sure you clean your feeder before you refill it. Also, if there's been weather and rain, if we don't have something like a weather guard to protect that seed, then that moisture gets in there regardless. And that could also cause those clumps. It could also be the type of seed that you are feeding in the feeder. Those large tree nuts can also clog up the squirrel-resistant feeders. So they could just be getting stuck in there. So we have a great blend at our location called No Mess CD Blend, where the nuts are a little smaller. They're more diced versus like a half-shelled peanut. So with that said, that one doesn't clog up your feeder. So we always recommend that when you're using a squirrel-resistant feeder. And as far as it being your nemesis, I want to put a note on this. Our number one deterrent for that we recommend to start with is hot, spicy food. We have a blend called Fiery Feast. It is 5 times the capsaicin. It's baked into the seed. So thus, if it's bad weather, it's okay. It's not water. It's waterproof because it's baked in there. So our birds don't have that receptor to feel the heat. However, the mammals do. So a couple bites from one of those, they'll change their mind quick and move on.
That's a good thought. I mean, like, I wish my tomatoes were that spicy, because that's really my biggest. They do mess with my bird feeder, but really it's me and the tomatoes and the squirrels are at war. But what else should we know about squirrels and trying to keep them away? Is there any, there's no like bulletproof, I mean, obviously spicy food, but like, are there any other tips or tricks?
Absolutely. So actually feeding your squirrels is also a deterrent.
Yeah, you could definitely feed them in a separate location. I've had a lot of people do that and they end up having a lot of fun with it, especially with this one product. It's called a squungee. It's literally a bungee cord you could put corn on.
Nice.
And they bounce around on it. It's hilarious. I've had people mention this to me, didn't even know that I worked at Wild Birds, so that was
you just
funny.
Wanted to say squungy.
Yes, she did. We also sell a cute little picnic table with a bench, so you just stick the whole cob of corn on that little table and he'll sit on his little chair and he'll just eat at that little cob of corn.
That's cute.
So yes, it's deterrent. Another deterrent is absolutely 100% feeding them this way.
I love it. Maybe I'll try that. I don't want to encourage them in my yard, but they're already there, so I might as well have some fun with it.
It may save your tomatoes.
You have to feed them in a completely separate location, like absolute opposite side of the yard, but it helps.
So before we go to break, we got about, you know, a minute left. Let's talk about Wild Birds Unlimited again. You guys are from the Kennerly Road location. Tell us more about the location and how to get in contact with you guys.
Absolutely. So our location used to be Telegraph Road. And then our franchise owners bought this store and they moved us to Kennerly. So we've been at Kennerly for a little over a year now. And with that said, we are a small store, but we pack a mighty mite. There is 4 of us right now. We're also looking for one more. With that said, too, you can get a hold of us online. You can shop online at any time of day at mywbu.com/St. Louis. And that'll take you directly to our website. If you spend over $75, it's free shipping. If you're local, we can most likely get that to you same day. With that said as well, we're in the shopping plaza with Walgreens and Jack in the Box right next to Panera across from Mercy. So absolutely. Phone number is 314-270-9700. Come in and see us.
Guys, we're going to continue this conversation in the next hour. We have a whole nother hour talking about birds, talking about plants. So hope you come back. 314-436-7900 is the number to call or text the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 1041 FM KMOX.
I keep seeing celebrities' posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly, you don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there. It's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
We are back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I am joined today by two absolutely enjoyable people that have been talking with us and answering your questions about birds. We've had so many callers and great questions, a lot of great interactions today. We have Bethany Clore and Ariel Zudema from Wild Birds Unlimited here. Bethany is a dedicated bird and nature enthusiast who serves as the manager at Wild Birds Unlimited at Kennerly Road here in St. Louis. And Ariel is a team specialist and a native plant expert. Wild Birds Unlimited is passionate about connecting people with the outdoors. Focused on community outreach, they enjoy helping others discover and appreciate local wildlife while promoting conservation and respect for natural habitats. Their goal is to inspire joy through birding and strengthen the community's connection to nature. Guys, the first hour went by fast. You're doing great. Are we having fun?
Absolutely. And it was much faster than I expected.
Every week it goes by so fast. But I can't remember a show where I've taken so many notes and learned so much. So really appreciate you guys being here and answering all of the questions. I want to go straight away to Anne because she's been waiting for quite a bit. So Anne, welcome to the Garden Hotline.
Thank you. I have a question about birds. I love to watch them feed, but I don't want them to come in my carport and make nests because then they poop all over my car and everything. I move the bird feeder as far away from my carport as I can. Is there anything I can put in my carport that won't hurt these birds? They're mostly small brown birds like sparrows. I tried the plastic owl. I tried the silver strip. Any suggestions?
I would say that offering boxes, like nesting boxes elsewhere, might help to push them toward that. It'll be a safer place for them to live rather than living under a carport. It'd be a little bit harsher for them to live there, especially if they're like 4 or 5 inch wide boxes. That creates like the perfect place for them. Also, offering things like berry bushes really helps so that they have extra habitat as well, rather than trying to keep them away from the carports. Then you're actively helping them in supporting them in a way that makes it easier for them to sustain life rather than just trying to push them away.
Thank you. I don't want to hurt them. I just want them to go elsewhere.
You just don't want to clean your car very often, and I respect that. I really do. Thanks so much for the call, Anne. It kind of maybe in the same line of questioning, we got a text about bluebird houses. And the question is basically, how do I keep competing birds out of a bluebird house?
Yeah, again, there we're trying to not necessarily like do anything that will harm them, of course. But one of the things that we can do is when we're providing those bluebird houses, like I said, usually about like 4 or 5 inches wide, established house for them. We can always add a little bit of clear fishing wire in like a box shape with an X, and that clear fishing wire, it kind of freaks out the sparrows whenever they get up close because they don't have the best eyesight, whereas the bluebirds have a really great eyesight. They'll see it right away. They won't be bothered by it. And then the sparrows, on the other hand, will be a little bit more freaked out. That actually helps to answer the previous question. You could potentially put up some fishing wire, and that could deter them as well from the carports.
So it's really funny to me because I've heard now the sparrow in a derogatory way a couple of times. People are hating on the sparrow. What are some other birds? I know in a previous show, somehow we got stuck on, oh, I can't even remember what.
Starlings.
Starlings, that's right.
I already know.
Yeah. So on a previous show, somebody was talking about these starlings that come. So we do have, obviously we talked about squirrels that are maybe unwanted, and we have the sparrows, which are great, but maybe not as cute or I don't know, people wanting to see something else other than the sparrows. But what are some ways that we can attract the birds that we want while keeping the ones that we don't want? Absolutely. That even a thing?
Yes, actually. So the safflower product is another great product to try to help keep those starlings and grackles away. They don't like the bitter taste of that seed, so they have a tendency to not pick that. Whereas, like Ariel said earlier in the show, the cardinals love safflower. So that's an option. We also have feeder cages that you can put on your tube feeder or a cylinder feeder, at least one of ours. It's and then you can actually, it has a 1.5 square ratio. And so those larger birds can't get through there, but the smaller birds that everybody wants to attract, like bluebirds and lower, smaller birds, they can get in just fine and still feed and be happy.
Even sometimes the downies can get in there because they're super small for woodpeckers, and they love those things.
And if you are a suet feeder, well, we have a suet holder that actually hangs upside down. And so the birds have to go under it to get to it. We also suggest putting something called a Simply Suet product that we have in there. It's just the fat and the protein. There's no flavor. So those starlings and those grackles, they don't like that. Nothing tastes. They like the nuts. They like the berries. And they also can't hang upside down that suet feeder. So thus, that's another deterrent that we recommend for the starlings.
Yeah, those upside down feeders are great for those clinging birds, not so much for the ones who can't cling very well.
Exactly.
Nice. I'm going to ask a question. I have so many questions. I don't want to sound like a complete idiot. But how do I learn what birds are what? They're at my feeders. What is the, I have a little laminated thing in
That's
the
okay.
in the drawer, and I'm looking at a laminated card, and I'm like trying to figure out, oh, this one's gray and white, and then it flies away, or I try to take a picture of it, and it's blurry, so I can look it up later. But what is the best way for me to learn these
things?
We
can help. So we actually have lots of books that are color coordinated for quick finds. Book of Missouri Birds, we actually have in our store, but our favorite is the Merlin app. It's spelled just like the wizard. You open it up, it'll give you a bird of the day. You can hit that microphone and it's going to listen to all the sounds of the birds in your yard. We also have a great product called the Haiku Box. Does the same thing. The great beauty of the Haiku Box is it can also, it'll hear all the birds in your yard within a radius, obviously, and then you can look to see on that Haiku Box what birds are coming in your yard, and then you could come to our store and we can help you find out what feed you should be feeding that bird to get them to come to your feeder. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I feel like because we get a lot of questions about what flower is this and what, you know, like, and I spent a lot of time and energy learning flowers, and I want to learn and know what birds are coming to
Absolutely.
My yard, but it feels daunting.
We also have the Bird Reel. What a great product at our store. It has the AI on there. And as soon as your bird lands, you're going to get a notification on your phone saying, hey, look, you have a bluebird on your feeder right now, or a rose-breasted grosbeak. And then you can get a screenshot of them or a small live video. It's phenomenal. So absolutely, we have ways to help.
Awesome. Yep. And their customer service is phenomenal. It's local, and they are so helpful.
And they're so pleasant. They're in Colorado. Great help. Just no complaints there.
Yeah, well, I got to do something so that my nieces and nephews don't make fun of me whenever I pull out my laminated card to try to identify what bird's out my window. So I need to get some street cred or something. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue this awesome conversation about birds. If you guys have a question about your garden or plants or veggies, you can also call 2. We don't discriminate today. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by Bethany and Ariel from Wild Birds Unlimited. Guys, can you talk, I guess, let's talk a little bit more about your store and what you guys have to offer. Do you guys do events?
Absolutely. Like I said before, we're really big on reaching out and sharing with the community. So at our location, we have a kids club every month, an adult education every month, as well as a bird walk every month. So please come join us at our bird walks or one of our adult education or kids clubs. At our bird walks this month, it'll be June 13th, which is a Saturday at 9 a.m. And we'll be going to Beetree Park and walking the lake loop. It's a really easy path. It's about a mile. And then our team specialist, Ariel, who's with me today, as well as Brandon, will be able to guide you through the bird walk. It's very exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic place. We actually, last time we saw a red-shouldered hawk came in, swooped a fish out of the lake next to us, Whoa. Went right above our group, and then about 20 feet away, proceeded to eat said fish on a log. So that was pretty wild.
I mean, you can't plan that. And for that to have happened on one of your bird walks is pretty cool. But you have other events, and information for all of this stuff can be found on your website. I pulled it up over the break, and there's just so much information on here about birds. I mean, you guys have all kinds of stuff on this. Tell us that website one more time.
Absolutely. So it's mywbu.com/St. Louis, spelled out. And with that said, too, we also have Facebook. So if you're a Facebooker, you can follow us on Facebook. I have all of our events posted up until December, with the exception of any further community outreaches that I find throughout the year and add an addition. If it's public and available to everybody, I'll post it on our Facebook page as well.
Yeah, and you guys can also go, I have a link to their website on my website. It's also a link to their Facebook on my Facebook, which is stlplantnerd.com or stlplantnerd on Facebook and Instagram. So check that out if you want to get linked up with them. Let's go to a phone call. We got Kathy on the line. Kathy, go ahead with your question.
Oh, is this for me?
Yes.
Okay. So I missed the part about the bluebirds. I've been trying to get them to come to my bird feeder, to my birdhouse. And they seem to get shy. I mean, they get scared away by the sparrows. So I missed the part what she said about putting something on the birdhouse or something.
Yep. It's just clear fishing wire. You can put a few like small nails into the front face of the birdhouse and then string the fishing line. It has to be clear, but clear fishing line in a box with an X on it. You can also do this to the top on the roof, and that should help.
And also we have a map a sample sheet for that, as well as a display. If you have any questions, come down to our store and we'll give you that paper as well.
Oh, good.
Those sparrows, they have a tendency to land on the house that they're eyeing. So if you put that clear fishing wire on there in the X form, once they hit that, they're going to be freaked out and they're going to leave. As far as attracting more bluebirds into yard, though, we have great products for that. The bluebirds love the mealworms. Right now it's nesting season, so when they have babies, live mealworms is better, which we also offer at our store, as well as dried mealworms. Yeah. Anybody that can't handle the live mealworms, because I see you shaking your head, we also offer the dried mealworms as well as a great product called Bark Butter Bits. That's that quick fix of that protein, calcium, and fats for them. Also, for bluebirds, it is imperative that you have a healthy water source for them. The bluebirds need that. So a good bird bath, a fountain, a creek right by you. But if you don't have that water source, if you want bluebirds, it is a must. And we do have a great selection of bird baths at our store, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have the bird bath, and I have a creek. I'm not a creek. I have a pond right behind me, so they have that. And I see them, and they scout out this house every year. And every year, the little other stinker is getting in there first.
Yes.
Say another question about the house. The same birdhouse, I see them make the nest in there, but I don't see them come back and finally lay the eggs in there. So is there something wrong with the house?
No, but I would say that you could, if it's not like 4 or 5 inches wide, then that would be better. We also provide this type of bluebird house that has a window on one side and an opening on the other, and that allows you to be able to see in there and monitor them better if you need to do that.
Oh, we also have that Bird Reel brand that I was talking. We have a nesting box. It has that 1.5 hole on there for bluebirds in diameter. And it has a camera in there. It's great. So you can watch your bluebirds nest in the box and watch them grow, watch them fledge. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's a little more technical. Okay, so if you don't mind, just one more question. So this winter, I had an unusual thing happen with a tree outside. There's a knot hole in it. It's a big, pretty opening. And it opens on both sides of this branch that is like maybe 2 feet big. This is a nice branch, of the tree, and it's got this knot hole. So there's this bird going in and out, and there's a nest. They literally made a nest in this tree.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I don't know what kind of bird it was. It's like the size of a cowbird, and it could have been a cowbird. The female sort of looked like the ones that I looked in the book at, but I wasn't sure what kind of bird it was.
I will say that the cowbirds, we often say they look a bit like a soot-covered, like, mockingbird. They're extremely similar in their, like, shape, size, coloration, everything.
Yeah, so I think it might have been that, not the male, of course, but I seen the female, right? Mm. But she did, I guess that's what it was. I don't know. But
Actually seeing it, unfortunately, I don't want to steer you in the wrong direction, because there's just so many birds that if they saw an opening in a tree that was available, they would
really
take it instantly. Yes, ma'am.
About a grackle or I don't know of any other birds that I can think of. But anyway, it was very interesting to watch them and the little ones and everything. Yeah, it was really. But now I got to worry about my tree because it's got these knot holes. Okay. Yeah, so I'll have to call the tree man when he's in. So thank you very much. I enjoyed the program. It was wonderful to hear all the bird stories.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
So we touched on it a little bit with the water source. How important is that? I mean, it's come up several times. How important is it? What are, like some rules or things about having a bird bath? I know we talked about cleaning it. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. So it is imperative to have a healthy water source because we need to make sure our birds are able to be flight ready and be able to clean those pin feathers appropriately. So there's tons of birds that need that if you want them in your yard. But again, it's hydration as well. We have extremely hot summers and humid summers here. I'm sure the birds can go find it naturally. But again, if you have that healthy source of water in your yard for them available and they know that they can count on you, well, then that saves their energy to eat and drink in your yard and be closer to their babies, not have to leave them with taking that chance of predators being open nested and trying to attack the nest. So with that said, cleaning it is also extremely important, as we said before. And you could even use just a little bit of Dawn dish soap, and you can scrub it out with a bird bath brush. You don't want to just wipe it out. You'll make sure you get in there because it does have algae buildup. We do also, I'm sure there's going to be some questions about it. We do have a product that is a copper disc, and that helps keep that algae down in your bird bath. And we do sell that at our store as well. So that's a big question that we get. But also just a matter of making sure, remembering that when they take a bath, it's just like us. All that dirt, their mites, all that comes into their bird bath. So that's why it's so important to keep it healthy and clean and ready for them. Because if a predator comes and they have to just get up and go with no thought about it, well, they have to be flight ready for that.
Yeah, I would say cleaning those bird baths is even more important than, or more often necessary than cleaning the bird feeders, because it has to be done like all the time, especially when it gets hot out. Those birds really need that clean water source. And I always say that if you become reliable for the birds, they become reliable for you.
Absolutely.
We also have to focus on the fact that the birds are more sight oriented than anything else. So having a moving, a source for moving the water is very important. It helps to attract more types of birds to your area, but especially those bluebirds and the goldfinches. They need a lot more water.
Yes.
The goldfinches, especially because they eat about 98% vegetation, which means they need more water for that vegetation.
And also, too, we have to remember that that water movement, they can hear that as well. So if it's in their territory and they're hearing that slight bubble or trickle or motion in the water, they will come there as well to the sound and follow that sound. So it's just, it's a great, if you want to feed the birds, feeder and bird bath, and you'll get crazy amount of species.
And then in the winter, having that heated bird bath.
Oh, good point.
To be seasonally savvy.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Man, I'm just loving this show so much. I hope you guys are too. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Carol on the line that we will get to right away. 314-436-7900. If you want to join the conversation via phone or text, it's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am joined today from Wild Birds Unlimited. We've got Bethany and Ariel in the studio answering your questions, answering my silly questions. And I'm very grateful for that. 314-436-7900. If you guys want to call and ask them your questions, you can also ask about plants too, which we haven't really talked about in relation to birds, but don't worry, we're going to get into that soon. Let's go up to Carol. Carol, thanks for your patience.
Hey there. Good morning. Listen, I got a front yard that I'm pretty sure is like 80% weeds, and but they're green. And then I got some grass. Is there anything I can do at this point?
Grass is always my, it's like my Achilles. There is, I'm sure, things that you can do. I know that it's, putting down product is what a lot of people do. I don't mind the weeds in my yard, so I don't actually put anything down. But I think you could do some spot treatments, of course, putting down some pre-emergent. I do have Glenn Kramer hopefully coming back on soon. He's from G.R. Robinson Seed that you could reach out to. And then I always partner up with Spectrum Lawn Care in St. Charles, but they are all over the St. Louis area. But I would recommend, if you are looking for some lawn care advice, you can give them a holler, but I don't know, since the heat's here, what the right thing to do is. But I think they're basically spot spraying at this point.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Thanks so much. Okay. So we've talked about a lot of different things. What haven't we talked about that you just
can't wait to tell the listeners about. I know that's a broad thing. Maybe it's plants. We haven't really talked about plants in relationship to birds, but you know, it's a big deal. You don't just have to have plants or feeders. You can plant things and have different things in your yard to attract the birds. Tell us about that.
I would say let's start big. Those oak trees are one of the number one things that can attract a wide variety of different types of wildlife as well as insects. And supporting those insects, of course, helps to support those insectivores and aerial insectivores. I will say oaks because of the acorns, the nesting cavities, and having the home for the insects and everything else that it provides. Definitely one of the bigger ones, but willow and hickory are also fantastic. There's also a ton of berry-producing native plants that we have that are fantastic for our different types of birds. Serviceberry.
Serviceberry is my favorite plant.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Everything loves it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That one, we've talked about beautyberry. That one's a really great one. Mm-hmm. Elderberry. Winterberry. Especially during the winter, having that. Another thing that's great during the winter is the goldenrod I talked about previously. And those cone flowers, anything that's been left behind in the late season, then the birds use that as a vital resource for food. And providing those things in your backyard means that when they're not feeding on those bird feeders, they are eating in your backyard.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, like a lot of folks like a tidy garden, and it's a judgment-free zone. And there are a lot of plants that you can deadhead and clean up that aren't beneficial. But anything with those seed pods on them, it's really important to leave those up until really till they pick them clean. Mm-hmm. I leave them up all winter because we're also helping our native bees, and some of the native bees will overwinter in the stalks of our perennials. But what about plants that help with nesting? Is there a nesting material that birds like to make specifically?
Those native grasses and shrubs are great for weather protection and nesting.
Yeah, I would say, like I was mentioning, the oak is a big one for nesting cavities. But also those larger bushes and shrubs. I would say that the winterberry is a big one,
mm-hmm.
and then the serviceberry again.
Yeah, serviceberry. I always mention it whenever I can. It's one of the first plants to flower, beautiful white flower in the spring, turning into those berries, which are edible for humans and for the birds. It's a nice little snack. I never pick enough. I don't know if I'm just not patient enough to harvest all of them, but I like to feed the birds. And then it has beautiful fall color. Really, it's either yellow or orange in the fall. So all around good plant and can take some shade. It's a good understory. Can be out in full sun. You'll get more flowers and berries if it's in full sun. And the other thing, you know, people are really quick to deadwood or to cut down trees that are dead, but those are also really good sources for birds. And I understand that if it's a hazard to the community or to your structure around it, obviously, but that's a good thing to leave up too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would always say that if you don't leave it up, then chop it up and put it in your garden. Use it as compost.
Exactly.
Because that's going to help with vermiculture, and that's going to attract a lot of those ground insects that you're going to want. Anything like that, especially if it's going back into your garden, it's helping them, it's helping you. I always support that.
And that falls hand in hand with the leaves conservation movement, for sure.
And another thing you can do, too, is that if you just don't want to have it around like that, you can actually burn it down, and you can put the ashes into your garden, and that helps to support your garden, too.
So I want to go back to the birdhouses and nesting boxes. I know this probably is different for different types of things, but like, where should we be putting these and when? Like, is there a time that's better to put out birdhouses and nesting boxes? Or, you said it's nesting season now. Is it too late to be doing stuff like that? Or what? Can we talk about that a little?
Sure. So it is best to put it up 3 months, like in the wintertime, for it to get seasoned into the environment. However, if you have birds that are already nesting in that box, the odds are is that bluebird family that nested in your bluebird box is going to try to come back and check, see if that house is available again. We don't recommend you putting a nesting box directly by your feeders because it's basically a buffet. And everybody's going to want that house because of convenience. So there'll definitely be battles for the house at that point. Is there anything that you wanted to add to it as well?
I would say as far as where we're putting it in a meadow is going to be a lot better, especially if we're trying to get those bluebirds. The bluebirds are always very skittish, and they're trying to have like a wide 360 view. And having that space away from anything else, I always say like 8 feet, maybe a little bit more, is the best. And we say face it south.
Southeast.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you can face it towards a tree, then that's helpful for those fledglings whenever they come out of the nest.
Yes, the bluebirds need to see where their goal is to land, so that way they have the motivation to move.
Really cool. Okay, guys, let's take a quick break. We have one final segment left. We've got Terry on the line. We'll get to when we come back. If you guys have any last minute questions, we could do a speed round when we come back, or you can send us a text 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
I keep seeing celebrities' posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly. You don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there. It's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back. It's the final segment of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reesert West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And again, I'm here with Bethany and Ariel from Wild Birds Unlimited. We have been having a great time this morning. We're going to go up to Terry for a quick question. Terry, welcome to the Garden Hotline.
Hi, love your show. Hey, I have a question about some trees.
Okay.
I have some mature, I'd say 25, 26-year-old maple trees, some ash, and oak trees. And several of them, like the roots at the ground level, at the surface level, they're like on top of the ground, you know, where they're exposed. And whenever I, you know, cut the grass around them or around the tree, I'm always like running over the roots. Could I possibly take like some soil and drizzle over, you know, the roots to cover them and then plant it back with some grass seed? Is that a advisable thing or not?
I would say, I'm going to say no. Okay. So when you cover with soil, which you absolutely can do, and if you do it, don't put more than an inch or two. But what is going to happen is those trees, especially, you probably have a red maple, those are really big on the surface roots. Yep. They're just going to keep doing it. So I always recommend doing a mulching if you can, so that you're not running over it repeatedly with the lawnmower and continuing to damage those roots. The other thing you could do is do a layer of soil and then plant like a ground cover that doesn't have many issues competing with the tree roots. And then that makes it, you know, hopefully a lower maintenance. You pick a ground cover that maybe needs maintenance once a year or not at all. But trying to continuously grow grass seed under it is sometimes, you know, not, it's not always, you can get it to work for a year or two. But then, like I said, those roots are going to keep coming back up to the surface.
Okay. I never even thought about that. Yeah, makes sense.
Yep. All right. Thanks so much, Terry. We got a question about trees, not a bird question on the Garden Hotline, but let's get back into talking, you know, in our final couple of minutes. Let's talk about, again, your store, the Wild Birds Unlimited. Can you tell us a little bit about why we should be going there versus like a big box store, or what are some of the things that you guys offer that we won't find elsewhere?
Absolutely. Well, quality is numero uno for sure. With that said, like I said earlier, we don't have the fillers that the box stores have. We have the quality seed. We also have the no-mess blend. If you mine the shells and you're tired of that waste on the ground, well, we have the no-mess blend. So if that seed does not have the shell, it can't germinate into your yard to those tiny plants. Also, we offer an APS system, which is our advanced pole system. So that's the design your yard and your own feng shui of how you want your feederscape to look. So if you want one or two feeders, we have two hooks. It comes in a kit to start you out with. It has an auger pole to put into the ground, so that way it's safe in the bad weather and storms and winds that we get in Missouri. Also, we offer a daily savings club membership. That is the best. With that said, that's $25 for the whole year, which amounts to a little more than $2 a month. You get 15% off anything consumable, as well as you get, and after you accrue a $200 or 200 points, which is $1 per point, then you'll get a free $10 bird buck that you can take off at anything. Doesn't have to be consumable. Also, in-store and online sales that we have. Speaking of sales and that advanced pull system that we were just discussing, come the 11th of this month to the 22nd, we'll have a 15% off sale for that for Father's Day. So if anybody wants to come down, you also get a free sign-up gift if you join our Daily Savings Club. And, of course, all the knowledge that we have to give you.
That's the biggest thing, I think, you know, and that's the thing that when I talk about buying plants, you know, you could go to those big box stores. Number one, you don't know what the quality of the plants are that you're getting, but you're not able to talk to an expert, right? Like, not a lot of home gardeners or people that are just getting into birding or people that know a lot about birds. They need somebody to be able to ask those questions to, so you're getting the right, you know, I always say right plant for the right place. And it sounds very similar that, you know, if you want to attract certain things. I'm sitting here looking at a bluebird bugberry blend that you guys just generously brought to share with me, which I love trying to say the first time was a little bit bluebird bugberry blend. But those are, you know, those are the things that you get by going to a local store with experts. So, you know, I think I can't wait to go. Like I said, I've never been to one, but don't you worry, I'm going to be hunting you guys down. So tell us again where you guys are located, your contact information. Oh, you said you were on Facebook.
Absolutely. So our address is 9926 Kennerly Road in St. Louis, Missouri. We're three doors down from Panera, right next to Walgreens, Jack in the Box, and across from Mercy. Our contact number is 314-970-2700. And then, of course, we're open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays.
And I'm going to come down. I'm going to find you guys, and you're going to be gentle on me, because I told you during a break, I don't need to spend money on another hobby, but it sounds like I'm like making a list of all the things that I want and need. I have a final question for you. We got about a minute and a half left, but it's a text that came in, and it's I think maybe it's a good one, maybe it's a common one, but how do you keep ants away from a hummingbird feeder?
That's a good question. We actually have our hummingbird feeders have what's called an ant moat already built inside it. So not only is it convenient because it's dishwasher safe as well, easy to clean, but it also has that ant moat you fill with water. We also sell them separately, as well as there's a gel that we have in our store that actually keeps and deters those ants from climbing that pole. We do recommend keeping away from other options of where ants can crawl, because the ants stay on one path. They can smell that path and they will stay there unless you can take that path away.
So much knowledge from these two. I've had a great time today. You know, last week I had Rita DeKemper on from Gardens of Grace. She was here promoting the event that's happening next week, and I just want to remind everybody about that Frontenac Plant Expo that's happening next week at the Mercy Conference and Retreat Center. This is for, they have plant and landscape experts who will be on hand to answer questions and discuss your specific plantings, their care, if you have questions about hardscapes or things like that. It's a great thing for homeowners to come out and ask professionals questions. You can find that on my website, stlplantnerd.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, also stlplantnerd.com. Next week, we're going to have Oh Deer on. We're going to talk about deer resistant plants. We're going to talk about the services that they provide to help keep deer out of your yard. He knows a lot, so I'm looking forward to that conversation. Thanks, everybody, so much for all of your great questions and joining into the conversation. Join us next week, again, Saturdays 8 to 10. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
I keep seeing celebrities' posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly. You don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there. It's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips,
but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!